Sunday, we talked about Moses as he, in his mind, and according to what we read in Acts and also Hebrews, he thought that it was his job to go out and deliver his people. So at age 40, he goes out and begins that particular task. But as the record points out, the people did not understand that he was to be their leader. And as James so aptly pointed out, this time, he was a very aggressive person. We saw him killing an Egyptian who was mistreating an Israelite. And the record in Acts chapter 7, verse 22, said he was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians. He ran out and was mighty in words and deeds. So keep that in mind as we go through the lesson tonight. See how he is 40 years later. And also you can find that as we begin this lesson, he is at Mount Horeb or Mount Sinai. That's another strong indication. You know, I talked about his brother-in-law being familiar with this particular part of the country, and this is probably the median that we're talking about, because he's down here now, close to Mount Sinai. In fact, God tells him later on as we go through discussion that he will appear at this mountain again as he leads his people out of Egypt. So this is the area we're going to be talking about generally during just about all of what I'll be teaching from here down to this particular area. But he's out in the field watching his father-in-law's sheep. He's now a sheep herder, a shepherd. Quite a change in the way of life, I would imagine, from the days that he spent in Pharaoh's palace as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. But as he's out there, he sees something strange. Never has seen it before, I guarantee you. So what's he see and what's his reaction to all of this? Kind of strange, isn't it, Rick? Yeah, got a bush out here on fire, but it's not being consumed. So he says, I think I'll go check that out. I think I'll go see what's happening. So as he approaches, there's a voice. Said the angel there, but the voice of God came out and said, take off your shoes because the ground you're standing on is holy ground. He also said, don't come any closer. We'll see down in verse 6, I believe it is, what was Moses' reaction to all of this? Say he did. He was afraid. I think the book of Acts maybe even says he trembled, hid his face. He would not look that particular direction. Terrified, the way we would put it, as to what he was seeing and what he heard. So, he's standing there listening to the voice, and God is identifying himself, who he is, what has happened. He said, I have heard the cry of my people down in Egypt because of the taskmasters and so forth, and the way they're being treated. And I want to lead them out and put them into a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to drive out all these nations that are there now, that I've heard the oppression of those wherein the Egyptians oppressed. Now, Moses, what are you going to do? What does God want Moses to do then? That I've been talking to you about what's going on down there. Says, come on, Moses, you're the one. Go down and bring my people out of Egypt. According to verse 10, it says, come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, children of Israel, out of Egypt. Well, Moses is not so excited about going. Do you reckon he's thinking about what happened 40 years ago? Probably saying in his mind, I tried that one time. People down there didn't want my help. So I'm not sure I want to go back. We really don't know, but I could imagine. If that were me, I suspect that's what I would be thinking. So he asked the question. Verse 11. Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh that should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? probably thinking too, that fellow said, I'm going to kill him too if I can get my hands on him. So that's probably going through the back of his mind. I tried, the people rejected me, and when I killed this Egyptian, then Pharaoh said he was going to kill me. So that's why I'm sitting out here watching these sheep rather than back there. He also talks about in verse 13, he said, even when I go, or if I go, what is his name? You know, who sent me? What shall I say unto them? All the while God is talking to him, trying to lead him along, as it were, and letting him know that it is his job and what his mission is going to be. But verse 12 is what I referred to a minute ago. God said, when you shall bring the people out, you shall serve God upon this mountain. Right where he was at the particular time God was talking to him. Well, Moses is still not convinced that he needs to go. God's not too interested in excuses. So he continues to talk in verses 14 through about 17 or so. Again, about the mission that he wants Moses to accomplish. Again, who he was, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, God of Jacob, and how he had made his promise to them. He said, surely I'm going to bring those people out of the land of Egypt. He tells them that he ought to go down and talk to it's the next chapter where he tells them to go down and talk to the elders. But he's still saying, I'm going to bring them out and carry them into a land that flows with milk and honey, verse 17. And he says in verse 18 that they, speaking of the Israelites, they will hearken to the voice. Then they and you would go and talk to the king, request that you be allowed to go 3 days' journey into the wilderness to sacrifice to God. No Pharaoh is just going to be real happy about all of this. Pharaoh is going to have to say about all of this. Right. Real encouragement. So what's Moses thinking now, Rick? Yeah. So what's the use of me going? Doesn't matter if the people believe me or not. If the king's not going to let them go, what's the reason I'm going to go? He hadn't heard the rest of it. He hadn't heard the rest of it, has he? What's God go ahead and tell him, though? In the next verse, he says, and I will stretch out my hand, verse 20, might Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof, and after that, he will let you go. So, tells him the bad news first. When you request a leave of absence, so to speak, he's going to say no. But you got to be patient, Moses. That's not the end of the story. I'm going to do some wonderful works. Then he will let you go. That the end of the good news? What else did he say is going to happen? Those people are now in charge. They're the rich folks. The Israelites are the poor folks. They're the slaves. It's going to be turned right over. What's the last phrase in chapter 3? Plunder the Egyptian. Or what's the King James Version say? Let's see. And you shall spoil the Egyptians. So you're going to take all the wealth out. The Israelites are going to take the wealth out of the country. Well, Moses is ready to go, isn't he? That was his first request. Right. Just kind of filled him out, I think. The initial request. And I think he said at one point in time, you can let the men and so forth go. You know, leave all these possessions and so forth. But it's going to come back. God's just kind of testing the water. His eventual purpose is, we're going to get out of here. That was the first request. All right, so we get into chapter 4. Moses is still not ready to go, is he? Not ready yet. He throws out some more excuses. Even after God says, after a period of time, he's going to let them go. They're going to carry all the wealth out. But he says, well, they won't believe me. They won't hearken to my voice. God had already said, they'll listen. He says, they'll say, well, the Lord hadn't appeared to you. So God is in this process of trying to convince Moses, yes, 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 yes. So what's he say now? That I'm going to give you some stuff, prove that I have here to you. What's he say? What you got in your hand? Oh, got a rod, a staff, whichever way your version might read. Some of these probably been out there pushing those sheep around the wheel a little bit. But what's he telling him to do with that rod? Throw it on the ground. What's going to happen to it, Rod? Comes a serpent. What's Moses do? Same thing I'd have done. He ran. He was afraid of that snake. I don't blame him. But God said, pick it up with a tail. Fix it up and back to a rod. So he says, that's a sign that they might believe. Is that verse 5, I think? That's the sign. That's a sign that these people will believe that I've sent you. But he said it just in case they don't believe that. He said, put your hand in your bosom. Moses does that. Takes it out. White. Comes right like a leper. Back into his bosom. Pulls it back out. Hold again. I believe verse 8 says that they might believe the second sign. That's the second thing he does to convince these people. He says, just in case, like Jimmy, I won't listen, show you a third thing. I'm going to do the third thing. What's the third thing he says? Go out there and get some of that water out of that river when you get down there. Pour it out on the dry ground. Turn to blood. So these are the three signs. He says, and you can carry that rod with you too. Whether it's at this point or a little bit later on. But he tells him that's what he needs to carry with him. Those are the three signs that he gives. Well, Moses is still not convinced. Look at verse 10. Chapter 4, verse 10. But Moses said, oh my Lord, I'm not eloquent. And listen to what he says right here. Think about what's on the board. It says, I am not eloquent. Neither hitherto fore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. Tell now Moses. Excuses, excuses. You can tell in verse 11, verse 12, God is not kind of getting a little bit, he's not getting through to Moses like he had hoped, and he's not getting too happy about it either. He said, well, who made your mouth anyway? You know, I'll be your mouth. I'll teach you what you're going to say. So, Moses, you don't have an excuse is what God's saying. I can take care of that. But Moses is still not ready. Look at verse 13. He finally looks like he just throws up his hand. He said, well, just send anybody except me. O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. God's been talking to the man he wants to send. And so at this point, pretty evident that God is not pleased in verse 14. It says, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Said, is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know he can speak well. By the way, he's already on his way. He comes forth to meet thee. He sees these, he will be glad in his heart. Sound like this is the end of the conversation. God's not listening to any more excuses. He said, get on the road, Moses. I've got everything taken care of. Because when you get down there, look at what he says in verses 15, 16. It says, thou shalt speak unto him, put words in his mouth, and I will be with thy mouth. And with his mouth, teach you what you shall do, and he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and he shall be to thee instead of a mouth, thou shalt be to him instead of God. So, don't worry, Moses, everything will be taken care of. Speak for you, I'll tell you what needs to be said, and you can tell me. So there's where he says, remember, take that rod with you. The rod is in your hand. That's what you're going to use to go before the people and before the king. Well, it looks like Moses is ready to go finally. Now he's got one more task he's got to perform. The What's he got to do now? Moses got to do now? Been working with this man 40 years, ain't he? Says, hey, that is all. You'll hire help just get ready to go. You got to get somebody else to watch after your sheep. He has to go and talk to his father-in-law and tell him what the plan is. He is going to do. Well, he packs up his wife and his sons. I thought he had one son. Back in chapter 2, it talks about having a son by the name of Jephthah. Verse 20 says sons over in chapter 18. Find out who these sons are. The first few verses there talks about when Jethro brings Zipporah and the two boys to visit him later on. Verse 4, I believe it is, tells us the name of this other son, Eliezer. It also will give us a little bit more information about what happened to Zipporah here in a few minutes. But here we are. We see Moses, Zipporah, Gershom, and Eliezer heading to Egypt to carry out God's plan. Verse 24, though, says that along the way, in the end, something rather bad is about to happen to Moses. God's going to kill him. Strange, isn't it? Sends him on a journey, and then he's going to kill him on the way. What keeps that from happening? One of his sons, probably his latter one, we don't know that, but at least one of his sons he had failed to circumcise. As a result, God was going to kill him. But Korah intervenes, circumcises the son. Seems like at this point she is an unhappy wife, based on what's said. What is it? Verse 22. 25. Thanks, Matt. And Zipporah took the sharp stone, cut off the foreskin of her son, cast it at his feet, and said, surely a bloody husband art thou to me. Now, look back in chapter 18 again. Nothing says right here about what happens to Zipporah, but I believe 18 verse 2 maybe says Moses had sent her back. So it looks like at this particular point, she and the two boys go back home. Moses goes and meets his brother Aaron. Two of them go down into Egypt to carry out God's plan. Now, they get there, but before they get there, God had told him again. Look back in verse 21. But he tells Moses again that I will harden his heart, speaking of Pharaoh, that he shall not let the people go. Then you will say unto Pharaoh that Israel is my son, even my firstborn. I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. So, when Moses talks to Pharaoh, he's going to let him know what the ultimate price is going to be for having a hard head, not letting his people go. So, Moses is not there yet. Now he and Aaron, they go in verse 29, they gather the people together, elders and the children of Israel, and they tell them all the things that God has spoke to Moses, showed them the signs in the sight of the people. Verse 31 said, people believed, and when they had heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshiped. So this particular part, just like God had said it's going to be, he told him early on. He said, when you talk to them, they will believe. Now, we'll see them faltering a little bit along the way, but right now, they believe that Moses has come, that God has sent him, due to the things that he said and the signs that he wrought with this rod that God had him to carry along. Now, chapter 5. Any comments on 3 and 4, though? We see an humble man here. Not very confident at all. But goes back to what James said earlier Sunday. 40 years ago, Moses thought he was going to do it. Now, he's going to have to be convinced that it's God's way. He's still the man, but it's just a different time and a different method in which carried out. God's going to be in charge, not Moses. Okay? Other comment? Rick? Okay, that's exactly right. Talked about him talking face to face. And we see Moses up here, a very aggressive person, a very humble person, kind of lost everything. And then all of a sudden God takes him, leads him right back up, very high place. Because, as you saw, God's friend and so forth. We see a lot of growth over the next few chapters, don't we? Those 40 days in that mountain, he didn't spend them up there doing nothing, did he? Okay? Good point. Okay, maybe we can finish chapter 5. We need to go about 3 chapters at a time, I had said earlier. Don't want to rush through it, but we do need to pass on. All right, so in chapter 5, we see Moses and Aaron going in before Pharaoh. And their request is, verse 1, "Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And y'all, they don't say right here, 3 days. They just said, "Let us go into the wilderness." And Pharaoh, he's an arrogant man. Look at what he said in verse 2. "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Doubt. But Moses and Aaron plead with him again. What is the reason they say we must go and do sacrifice? Lest what? Lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with a sword. Whereas we got to do what God requests, or some bad things might happen to us. But Pharaoh is not too impressed. Look at what he says in verse 5. "All you're wanting to do is give these people a few days rest from their burdens. Get out of here. Behold the people of the land, they are now many." In other words, I've got a lot of work going on. You're wanting to take all these people and give them a few days rest from their burdens? Not going to happen. In fact, he goes out and has his taskmasters, their Hebrew officers, ones that were over certain groups, I'm sure. What's he tell them going to happen? "Make things live. I'm going to make things real easy for you." What did he say, Kathy? He said, I think one verse even talks about, instead of straw, you're going to have to hunt stubble. You know, they'd been supplying straw for these people to make brick with, but he said, "No, we're not going to do that. We're going to let you go and find your own." In fact, I think verses 8 and 9, he basically tells his taskmasters to lay it on. He said, let them do more work. Let more work, verse 9. "Let there more work be laid upon them, that they may labor therein. Let them not regard vain words." Words, lay it on them hard. They've got time on their hands. I guess that's basically what he uses Moses and them of wanting to happen too. So, taskmasters and the officers, they go out and say, this is what Pharaoh said. "I'm not going to give you any straw. Go out and find your own, and your work's going to be just like it was." And verse 12 said, "The people were scattered abroad throughout all the land of Egypt to gather stubble instead of straw." You can imagine what happened. They've been giving them straw and telling them to make X many brick. Now you got to go out and find the stuff yourself, and there's not much straw out there. You got to make the same amount. What's the logical conclusion? What's going to happen? It ain't going to happen at the job. Not going to get much sleep. You're going to have to double time it or something, aren't you, if you're going to do what they say. But as we know, they could not produce the same amount of brick or wood. So the taskmasters called the officers in and says, "What's going on? You didn't make your quota yesterday or today, either one." So they beat them. Now the officers, they know they're kind of between a rock and a hard place. So they go and talk to Pharaoh. Said, "Hey, King Pharaoh. It's the fault of your people. Look at verse 16. Verse 15 to start with, it said, why do you deal with our servants this way? That there's no straw given, but you said, make the same brick. The fault is in thine own people. So they go back and say, it's your fault. Y'all used to give us straw. You don't give us any more. So it's your fault we don't make the quota. Well, Pharaoh is real impressed. Look at verse 17. He said, you're idle. Therefore you say, let us go and do worship or sacrifice to the Lord. You got time on your hands if you want to do that. Go out and make some more brick. So the officers, now they see in verse 19, as I said, they see they're kind of between a rock and a hard place. That's the way we would describe it. That they were in evil case after it and said, when he said, you shall not diminish aught from your bricks of your daily task. Now, what's their next? Who do they go see next? Somebody's got to be to blame for all this. I mean, everything was working all right. I mean, we were working hard, but we was making our quota. And now, all of a sudden, and our officers have been beaten. Pharaoh's not got any sympathy. Somebody's got to be to blame. Who's to blame? Somebody's to blame? Somebody's got to be to blame. Oh, it's Moses' fault. Yeah, that's right, Matt. Yeah, everything was all right, Moses, until you came and started talking about getting us out of here. All you've done is make things worse. Moses' reaction. God, it's your fault. Yeah, just like us. Yeah. Moses said, why have you sent me down here anyway? Isn't that what he says at the end of the chapter? Yeah, verse 22. Moses goes back to the Lord and said, why hast thou so evil entreated this people? Why is it thou hast sent me? Got him. And he said in the end, verse 23, thou hast not delivered thy people at all. Go back to chapter 3, verses 19 and 20. What did God tell Moses? I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go, no, not by a mighty hand. And I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do. After that, let you go. Chapter 4, verse 21, end of that, says, but I'll harden his heart, and he won't let the people go. Then I'm going to tell him, I'm going to pay a price. I'm going to slay your firstborn. Don't let them go. So, which is a whole lot like us, ain't it, James? Getting our herd of things coming our way. We tend to forget sometimes our good promises. So, these people are in trouble. Burden has been increased. Doesn't seem like there's any relief in sight. Chapter 6 starts. Talk about that Sunday. We're going to see God reassuring Moses. Give up the ship yet? Still going to happen. It's not time yet. Yes, it is time. Man. Time for this one to be over. Any comments, though, up through chapter 5? We do have a couple, 3 minutes. He's got a response, hasn't he? Yeah, he's got an answer to whatever complaint we got. That's exactly right. Yeah, Moses came up with some good ones. I tell you, you got to hand it to him. He tried his best not to go. Finally, God said, you're the man. I don't want to hear any more. Sure, he gets tired of our excuses. Yeah. Definitely there when it happened. Yeah. He made his mouth. He makes our eyes or makes our ears or whatever. So, yeah, he's our creator. So, he knows our capability, doesn't he, Chuck? So, Moses, don't tell me. Don't give me any excuses about being able to speak or whatever. I know what's going on. I'm the one in bed. All right. Hope to see you Sunday.